Now, what would Alice in Wonderland have been like with Sammy Fain's music and Bob Hilliard's lyrics, which of course were never used? Let's look at some of the original artwork while we listen to two demos of Beyond the Laughing Sky.
My Dinah, you're wiser than wise. Oh, what your eyes can see. You're the only one who understands my curiosity. So please tell me.
Why does the whispering wind sound like a lullaby? Is that the magic music from beyond the laughing sky? Swallows remain. Where is the place they fly? Why can't I go along with them beyond the laughing sky? If I climb the highest tree, where, oh, where would I be? Disappear when they go rolling by. I'm wandering about the world beyond the laughing sky.
Oh, that was lovely.
The jails are filled. And next up on your computer dial, this is the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz coming at you at freakradio.org. It's Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides, the December 27th, 2018 show. Almost our last show of the year. And lots of, well, human voices from the street, from the chow lines, and from various places in Santa Cruz. So stay tuned and chow down on what you can. Here we go.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
And today is December 27th, 2018. And checking into the Solidarity Forever Labor History Calendar of a year ago, I find that on this date in 1831, Christmas Rebellion happened in Jamaica. It escalated. 60,000 of the country's 300,000 slaves rose against slavery. And I would say let's celebrate some real annual events rather than mythological, repressive fantasy events from the great major superstitions. Some call them religions of the world. Let's talk about where people actually stood up, demanded their rights, and eventually, at least their descendants, got them. Here's a little more on this rebellion in Jamaica in 1831 from a website called the Abolition Project. There had been a number of rebellions by enslaved Africans on the island of Jamaica. 16 slave rebellions had happened between 1655 and 1813. There were also major uprisings in 1816 and 1823. By the 1820s, more than 2,500 enslaved people were escaping from the plantations each year. 1831 saw the largest slave uprising. It started with the enslaved people refusing to work. The strike was meant to be peaceful, with the aim of forcing the owners to pay the enslaved people to cut the cane so that it would not spoil. Things soon escalated. Enslaved Africans burnt down houses and warehouses full of sugarcane, causing over £1 million worth of damage. More than 200 plantations in the north of Jamaica were attacked as 20,000 enslaved people seized control of large chunks of the island. The rebels were led by Samuel Sharp. The main rebellion lasted 10 days, but it took British troops the whole of January 1832 to restore order. It resulted in the deaths of nearly 200 Africans and 114 British planters or overseers. However, the repercussions of the rebellion were more terrible. Hundreds of rebels were captured and over 750 were convicted, of which 138 were sentenced to death. Some were hanged, some were shot by firing squad. Most of those who escaped the death sentence were brutally punished, sometimes so harshly that they died anyway. Sharp was executed in public. The revolt was very important and helped to end British slavery. It also shocked the British government and made them see that the costs and dangers of keeping slavery in the West Indies were too high. It reminded many of the Saint-Dominique, that's the Haitian rebellion. There were fears of another major rebellion on Jamaica, and many terrified plantation owners were now ready to accept abolition rather than risk a widespread war. Just 1 week after Sharp's death, Parliament appointed a committee to consider ways of ending slavery. And here's a little bit about Samuel Sharp on the same website, the Abolition Project. Samuel Sharp was an enslaved person who fought for freedom by organizing a general strike in Jamaica. He was born in Jamaica in 1801 and brought up in Montego Bay. He was a literate and well-respected deacon who was in charge of a missionary chapel in Montego Bay. He learned to read and write and became known as an inspirational Baptist preacher who amazed people with the power of his sermons. He traveled widely throughout his parish, speaking about the injustices of slavery and pointing out that the Bible said no man can serve two masters. White people, he said, had no more right to hold black people in slavery than if it were the other way around. He keenly followed the developments of the abolition movement in England by reading local and foreign papers. Of course, this is while slavery was going gung-ho in the United States and did for 30 more years, until the South was unwise enough to rise against the electoral victory of Abraham Lincoln, who actually didn't want to end slavery, but just wanted to stop its halt into the territories. But since the South controlled the Supreme Court, it controlled the government, and wanted essentially to expand slavery to Cuba and Mexico, they were defiant and determined to strike out on their own, seize the resources of the various U.S. agencies which were down there, and that, of course, resulted in the Civil War. But back to Jamaica. And Jamaica, I'll remind you, for those who don't know, it's a little island in the Caribbean Sea, which is just south of Florida. First, you have the much larger island of Cuba. You have some smaller islands, the Bahamas, between Cuba and the tip of Florida. And then south of Cuba, slightly, is the small island of Jamaica. And south and to the right is Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Haiti is where there was previously a slave rebellion in the 1790s, which was successful. Haiti became an independent black republic, which has been punished by the U.S. ever since. Back to Samuel Sharp, though, in Jamaica. When he was 31 years old, Sharp organized a rebellion in the mistaken belief that freedom had already been granted by the British Parliament to slaves. The rebellion, which started in December 1831, was timed to have maximum impact, as Sharp knew that if the ripe cane was not cut, it would be ruined. Sharp suggested that the enslaved people did not go back to work after the three-day Christmas holiday. He hoped the owners would pay the slaves to cut the cane so that it would not spoil. Sharp told his followers they should not fight physically for their freedom if the planters should only fight physically for their freedom if the planters did not accede to their demands. The uprising lasted 10 days and spread throughout the entire island, mobilizing as many as 60,000 of Jamaica's 30,000 enslaved people. Sam Sharp was captured, executed in Market Square, Montego Bay, on the 23rd of May, 1832. Just before his death, he had said to a visitor, "I would rather die upon yonder gallows than live in slavery." Sharp's owners were paid £16 in compensation for their loss of property. And the next year in England, slavery was abolished. The Slavery Abolition Act of 1833 abolished slavery throughout the British Empire, expanding the jurisdiction of the Slave Trade Act of 1807, which made the purchase of or ownership of slaves illegal within the British Empire, with the exception of the territories in the possession of the East India Company. And some explanations as to why slavery was abolished in the British Empire some 34 or 5 years before, well, 32 or 33 years before it was abolished in the United States, taking a war and hundreds of thousands of casualties to do it. In July 1833, a bill to abolish slavery throughout the British Empire passed in the House of Commons, followed by the House of Lords on the 1st of August. There had been a lot of debate over the factors that contributed to the final success of the bill, a change in economic interests. And after 1776, when America became independent, Britain's sugar colonies, such as Jamaica and Barbados, declined as America could trade directly with the French and Dutch in the West Indies. Furthermore, as the Industrial Revolution took hold in the 18th century, Britain no longer needed slave-based goods. The country was more able to prosper from new systems which required high efficiency through free trade and free labor. Cotton, rather than sugar, became the main produce of the British economy, and English towns, such as Manchester and Salford, became industrial centers of world importance. In English towns such as those two did. And then there was resistance by enslaved people. Enslaved people had resisted the trade since it began. However, the French Revolution brought ideas of liberty and equality, which inspired those seeking an end to slavery. For example, Toussaint Louverture, who led a successful slave revolt in nearby Haiti. Major slave revolts followed: Barbados, 1816, Demerara, wherever that may be, 1822, and Jamaica, 1831, 1832, which we've been talking about. They reduced profitability and gave a strong indication that regardless of political opinion, the enslaved people were not going to tolerate enslavement. The revolts shocked the British government and made them see that the costs and dangers of keeping slavery in the West Indies were too high. In places like Jamaica, many terrified plantation owners were finally ready to accept abolition rather than risk a widespread war. Then another factor, according to this article, was parliamentary reform. When Parliament was finally reformed in 1832, apparently the same year as Jamaica had this rebellion, two-thirds of those who supported slavery were swept from power. The once powerful West India lobby had lost its political strength. And finally, abolition campaigns and religious groups. The demand for freedom for enslaved people had become almost universal. It was now driven forward not only by formal abolition campaign, but by a coalition of nonconformist churches, such as evangelicals in the Church of England. The act, however, that declared slaves free did not free enslaved people immediately. They were to become apprentices for 6 years. Compensation of $20 million was paid to the planters. Protests finally forced the government to abolish the apprenticeship system. Notice protests, folks. On the 1st of August, 1838. And that's, again, the story, Why Was Slavery Finally Abolished in the British Empire, from the website The Abolition Project.
When the United States became a nation, African slaves weren't just picking cotton in Alabama. They were also cleaning houses in Pennsylvania and tending bar in New York City. By the early 1800s, northern states largely outlawed the practice and were pressing the South to do the same.
All true friends of emancipation, haste to freedom's railroad station. Quick into the cars, get seated, all is ready and completed.
The song you're hearing is called Get Off the Track. It was written and made famous by the most popular United States singing troupe of the 1840s and 50s, the Hutchinson Family Singers. Scott Gack wrote a book about the Hutchinson family called Singing for Freedom.
Get Off the Track is very much the soundtrack to the anti-slavery movement of the 1840s. The way We Shall Overcome was the song of the 1960s and the civil rights movement.
The Hutchinson family became famous by attaching themselves to the American Anti-Slavery Society, a church-based group that fought slavery in the courts. They traveled the country, singing at society meetings, selling sheet music for their songs, and, Scott Gack says, changing the way American reformers expressed themselves.
The Hutchinson family singers don't invent protest music. What the Hutchinsons create, really, as American singers, they create the idea of a protest singer who can make money.
As for those who were enslaved in the South, they were not able to protest slavery outright. They had no freedom. But they are known to have sung songs like this one, songs that addressed their slavery. After the ratification of the 13th Amendment, African Americans were, for the first time, allowed to start their own institutions of higher learning. Many of these schools formed choirs who toured the U.S. not only to raise money, but also to do something else, according to Kip Lornell, a professor at George Washington University.
To present black choral singing in such a way that white people, who most of whom had never heard black choral singing like this, could appreciate the fact that blacks were not just uneducated and unable to do anything but sing older spirituals and work songs, but in fact it created a bold body of important works.
It was a tradition that would be carried well into the 20th century, as African Americans would use song to protest for civil rights. For VOA News, I'm Richard Paul.
So I think it was from the Voice of America website, and not one of my favorite places necessarily, or one of my favorite groups, but thought I'd throw it at you. And again, to remind you, we've been considering that on December 27th, 1831, there was a Christmas rebellion in the Jamaica that escalated. 60,000 of the country's 300,000 slaves rose up. And I thought I would mention it since it's December 27th again. And that's kind of our musical break for the moment. Let's go now to the Red Church for some... you'll hear music in the background, but you're going to hear interviews in the foreground. And, well, here they come. Now, normally the Red Church, which is the Calvary Episcopal Church at Cedar and Lincoln Streets, has a Monday evening meal. And I guess it will be doing that probably for the weeks to come, in case you want to check it out around 6 o'clock in the evening. There's a service at 5 if you're into such things, and sometimes they have guest speakers who aren't entirely devoted to institutional Christianity, but actually talk about some things like how poor people are faring in Santa Cruz. Usually it's sort of remedial, inspirational. I was able to overcome my mental illness. I was able to overcome my abolition. I could overcome, get past the downtown ordinances and the police by doing this and that. I don't know how entirely fair that is of me to say. I don't usually stay for this stuff. In fact, I think I rarely have been to these encounters. But you can check them out at 5 o'clock at the Red Church on Mondays. And also on Mondays there's what we call the Penny University, which is in the same, also in the Red Church, in the side room there, where Paul Lee has usually a guest speaker. He's an author, activist, philanthropist, and a harsh critic of mine. He criticizes me. Actually, he hasn't so much recently. But he usually has a crowd of about 10 or 20 people. And anyone's welcome to come in there and listen and discuss events. My only criticism of such groups is they're big on discussing and, like, unfortunately, some of us at Huff, slow on acting in terms of taking any real action to make real changes or hold local politicians, local nonprofits, local police officers accountable for what they do and what they don't do. Red Church serves a good meal. They play some music, mostly religious music. It depends on who's singing, but it can be kind of, it's not bad. You'll be hearing it in a moment anyway. So here's some thoughts from folks standing in the chow line.
The Red Church around 1210. And it's a much smaller line than in past times. Middle of the day, maybe that's why. I've been giving out a flyer for folks, as well as garbage bags, to see if anybody wants to talk. Any reports from the street?
This guy's got a report.
And the reason I give out garbage bags Monday night, which is when this thing was, actually it was Monday noon when this was recorded. This was a noon meal, not a nighttime meal. This is, the one day of the year when they do a noon meal that I've heard of. But there was a rain scheduled, and garbage bags were eagerly accepted. They're these as protective coatings for both people's possessions, and some people can use them to cover up their own clothing and their own, put them on over their coats and so forth, because they are waterproof. Garbage bags are somewhat waterproof anyway. So if you want to go down there and distribute garbage bags when it's in the middle of the rain, some people will appreciate it. But others may regard it as a reminder of how homeless people are actually treated.
Yeah. What you got, man? What's up?
No, not me. That guy right there.
That's the guy you want to talk to.
I'll try to grab him later.
Yeah.
Anybody here got a report?
No.
Okay.
No, except that we won. The sleeping ban's been lifted.
And you haven't been hassled by police recently?
No.
How about property seizures? Anybody been trying to take your property, kick you out of parks?
No, I'm an innocent.
Sleeping bans are lifted?
Well, the courts have said they can't enforce it, and they are kind of laying off. That's my impression. That's your impression, too?
Yeah.
The courts ruled what?
But the federal
courts have ruled that it's in Idaho, they can't do it, and it's part of the whole 9th District, which we're part of it.
That's
Yeah.
Cool. That's good to know.
So maybe...
So they're not allowed to kick us out of, run us out of park.
Well, if somebody took them to court, they might have trouble. They haven't yet put down a... struck down the law here, but you know they're
right.
worried that they might.
Right.
Go ahead.
That guy's got a report.
I was just checking.
Report.
Okay.
All right, Rob.
The moon landing.
Any thought? We've been talking with.
You want to say?
Happy New Year and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right. Anything you want to report for Free Radio? Any reports for Free Radio?
Nope.
Hi again. Anything you want to say for Free Radio?
Most of the time,
not right now.
Well, that's good. Probably. They're not usually looking to bring you a cocoa, so.
No, they don't really like me because they know my family.
Well, I think they like people generally who are poor. They would prefer you had a lot of money. So.
I'd rather be poor.
There you go. All right. Any reports?
I'm not hassled by the local police or anything, but I ran into a fugitive and got caught. Literally faked his own death. And he's one of those fastest. He got caught red-handed.
But at least no local shit, huh? That's good.
Well, he was out of Boulder Creek in the 70s and 80s, but he was in the movie business. He made microphones, wireless microphones, like bugs. And he was a nut. And he got caught doing something stupid. He was doing the fastest thing.
And we have been talking with?
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome. I'm not kidding you, man.
I hear you. I have no idea, but, you know, I hear you're sincere.
Put him around, they sent him directly to prison.
Anything you want to say for Free Radio?
It's literally called a detention center, but yeah, man.
Any free reports for Free Radio?
What?
Anything you want to say about what's happening outside? Do you think people should know about?
It's raining.
It is. Misting, dewing, and raining. Any hassles from cops or anything like that?
Not yet.
Good. Let's keep it that way.
Right.
Take care. Hey, any street reports?
Any day above ground is a good one.
That's certainly true. Any reports?
Oh, my God.
All right.
Reports about what?
You know, stuff that's happened on the streets that you want to pass on to the public generally.
What's happening in your eyes?
In my eyes? It's hard to say. You know, there's less ticketing of camping, but they keep ticketing people for other things.
Right.
So, you know, being in a park after dark.
They're finally closing down the Ross Camp.
Where did you hear that?
They pay for SMSs, too.
Well, you got to worry that they're going to. Yeah, that's...
And what they're saying there is that this flyer that I was giving out suggested a number of ideas for people to consider. And this was a flyer that I was distributing which suggested that people should be aware that there could very soon be a shutdown of the River Street, I should say the Ross Campground. Some people called it the new River Street Campground. The campground which now has expanded to somewhere between 70 and 100 tents behind the Gateway Shopping Center. So on behalf of Huff and of myself, I cooked up a tiny flyer, which with different changes I distributed first at the Homeless Memorial on December 20th, then at the Red Church Meal, which you're listening to now, and then finally the next day at the Christmas Museum of Art and History Meal that was the traditional Christmas meal they have every December 25th there. And the final version of it, which I distributed the next day, read as follows. Ho, ho, hating on the homeless has got to go. And it mentioned upcoming events like the Huff meeting we had yesterday at the Sub Rosa Cafe. Now it's kind of scheduled for a weekly meeting every 11 a.m. every Wednesday at 7:03 Pacific. Then there's this event coming up on Saturday, December 29th. The day after tomorrow, which is a Food Not Bombs, not just meal, but a continued rain gear giveaway outside the main post office. So if you want to get some rain gear and you missed it last week, go there. It's 4 to 6 p.m. during that period of time. Come early and get the good stuff, although I think they have a lot of it. That's what I understand. Then 2 days later, on Monday, the 31st, at 5 o'clock at the parking lot behind the Saturn Cafe, kind of right across the street from the Sub Rosa Cafe, which is where Huff meets every Wednesday, and where the bike church is also located, there's a assembly for a DIY parade up and down Pacific Avenue. Happens once a year. DIY is abbreviation for do-it-yourself. And it's done without a permit. It's done without permission. It's done because we in the community think it's fun to do, a good celebration, also a good assertion of people power. And we stop traffic. We dance and sing. We toot horns. Used to have pillow fights, but police tended to move that along, although I would suspect their violence is far worse than the pillow fighting kind. And that's, again, that happens 5 p.m. on the day before New Year's, 5 o'clock, December 31st. And these were all announced on this little flyer. Also, I wrote, Shrunken Shelter and Police Pressure on Campers. Homeless must shelter themselves. That's kind of the main theme, something we've been looking at, and I've been talking about anyway a lot at the Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meetings. And I suggest people, rather than throwing money at charities or hoping that the city council in January might do something to expand shelter or rein in Parks and Rec rangers from harassing people in parks and harassing and police from harassing people for sleeping under the shelter of eaves along Pacific Avenue or in private businesses, next to private businesses, that they just go out and directly support existing campsites, including expanding facilities for the Ross Gateway Campground, as I've mentioned before, although that actually has happened a bit, whether it's because some of the city authorities finally got sensible, which is unlikely, or there were just so many people there, they didn't want to see piles of shit and the stench of urine and people knocking on the bathroom door at the Ross Dress for Less. I don't know if they call it Dress for Less anymore. They used to call it that down south. And saying, can we use your bathroom, sir? And they, well, we don't allow your bathroom. Our bathrooms are closed. It's being repaired. Only customers, even customers, we don't let use. You know, that's the people who are the Ross management may have gotten tired of hearing that and said to the city, open up a damn bathroom or two. And, of course, the city hasn't opened up bathrooms. But they have set in, I understand now, 4 porta potties and wash stations and even some Sharps containers for the disposal of needles inside these porta potties. So, far from ideal, it's slightly better than it was. This flyer also talked about prepare for the inevitable dispersal of the Ross camp, and this is what the person in line was saying to me, which I was playing a few minutes ago. Oh, they're going to shut down the Ross campground. I said, where'd you hear that? And it turns out he heard it from my flyer. And that's not because it's been announced, but because that's what they tend to do. That's what they did last year with the San Lorenzo Park Ground, they being a campground, they being the police and the Parks and Rec Rangers, of course, claiming that everyone's going to move to this paradisical, much better campground, or at least okay campground out on River Street in the gravel yard behind the barbed wire fence, where everybody was crammed together. And it certainly was better than some of the other shelter situations that the city had provided during the winter months, but it was very expensive, $90,000 for 60 people per month. And it also betrayed the people who were there by claiming they were to continue it until next April and then abruptly ending it in October in order to shift some funding to the winter shelter program where there was less facility and everybody else was competing for it. And, of course, at these winter shelters, you get far less privacy. You can't keep your stuff there during the day. Although Brent Adams has generously, or I guess, yeah, I would say generously, contributed his day-night storage facility, and the city for once is cooperating with him after having broken its word to him last October, I should say the October before last, when he was going to set up a program starting in November, and instead the city just jerked the rug out from under him, and there was no storage program last winter, winter of 2017-2018. Now there is, thanks to Brent's independent activity. Thank you, Brent Adams. Also on this flyer was a suggestion that people publicize, confront, and resist illegal harassment and citation, and video and audio move along bullying, because I think the way to deal with police doing this kind of stuff is to make it as public as possible to show what they're doing. Because ultimately, the courts may find some cities and some police officials accountable for this. I certainly don't rely on it. I don't predict it's about to happen in any near time. And so I don't want to give people any false sense of security. But still, it happened in Boise. They haven't been, I don't know, found legally culpable in terms of financial responsibility, as far as I know. I could be wrong on this. Nor, of course, of any brutal cops who steal property either in Santa Cruz or in Boise, Idaho, been found guilty and had to serve some prison term, or nor any restitution made to homeless people, which is, of course, what's really needed to stop this kind of shit. But in the meantime, have your video cameras ready, have your cell phones, if they have any video capability, ready, and start taking pictures. And even if you can't really take pictures, but you look like you're taking pictures, that can have some deterrent effect. It can also be risky, too. But, you know, that's up to you to decide what you want to do. I'm inside. I'm not facing police stalking into my bedroom every night. So I'm in a different situation. Report bathrooms close to the public and poor in cafes and public buildings like Loudoun Nelson, where the bathrooms are still closed, although I hear they have been reopened and repaired in San Lorenzo Park. So good for them, but it's only, 3 months late after a year late when they closed them throughout the fall, winter, and spring of this last winter and spring. But let's get them open again, and let's get the bathrooms that are actually there unlocked at night. Thank you very much. We have this new ho-ho-ho progressive city council coming in. You know, those four progressives who supposedly are going to bring us rent control and some meaningful change in the city as far as poor people go, as far as tenants go, as far as homeless people go. They didn't do shit in November, the two of them that were on the council, or in December when the four of them were on the council, admittedly only for a short period of time. But they gave the landlords an opportunity to begin evictions over the winter instead of taking the kind of action that might have at least put the landlords on notice that there would be a cost for what they did. So my point is, you have to do this yourself. You have to do this in groups of people who actually have a real interest in doing this. I don't just mean who are interested, like us liberals who are at home in our warm buildings, but people who are outside who actually are facing loss of their property, loss of their liberty, loss of their dignity. These are the people whose real interests are being gored by this kind of crap and who might be interested in getting together. Another proposal I had on this flyer was to join a tenant homeless alliance. Contact the HUF for the Santa Cruz Tenants Association, which is a group that is concerned with fighting for rent control. And also, as at least one of the members, Cynthia Berger, came to a HUF meeting and was interested in forming an alliance with us so that, you know, if the tenants are being evicted, homeless people can come and say, forget it. And if the homeless people are being harassed, maybe tenants can come. And, of course, that's all a fantasy at the moment, or let's say a hope for the future. But it's a good idea. And again, the number for the Santa Cruz Tenants Association is 295-0622. That's 295-0622. Then I suggested on this flyer that people establish a regrouping site where folks go when the police do disperse Ross or other campsites and come together to plan what to do next. Ideally, people out there should be planning what to do now, because it's unless you want to be blindsided. You can't really even call it blindsided, because you know it's got to come at some point when they attempt to remove you. I mean, in Berkeley, they had a plan to do this. They formed a group, like first they came for the homeless, coming out of the Occupy movement, and they just picked up their stuff and they moved to another spot and they set themselves up and they made established contacts with the community and kind of, I think they were a drug-free camp as far as hard drugs go, which is not, of course, what's happening out at Ross. So it's a different situation. But the idea of people coming together to, in essence, have a series of options as to what they're going to do in when the inevitable crackdown comes, I think is a very good thing to do. Of course, I'm not living out there. So, and finally, I left the number for the city council for those who are either wildly idealistic or, you know, or extremely persistent and dogged. I do contact the city council regularly with Public Records Act requests, for example, and keep on going and keep trying to shame those who don't respond or who break their promises to respond, like Councilmember Sandy Brown. I've talked about her at length on this show. The number is 420-5020, in case you want to contact City Council. I think they're on, not only are they on vacation, I think their staff is on vacation, but they may still be picking up messages in case you want to reach them. And you can also reach them at citycouncil@cityofsantacruz.com. And Huff had a discussion yesterday talking about demanding that the progressive majority end the anti-homeless laws, and we're going to be talking more about that in the upcoming shows, but that essentially means, you know, the laws that make it illegal to peacefully ask for spare change after dark, to peacefully sit down next to a building, to peacefully try to play music with a little cup in front of you outside the little four discs that they've set up, like what I call the performance pens on Pacific Avenue. There's a whole variety of these ordinances. To walk down by the levee, if you want to be down by the levee, assuming you're not trampling the vegetation. To sleep on the beach at night, if you need to. Hey, to have an open container if you're not drunk or disturbing people with outrageous behavior. The way that, you know, the hoity-toity wine and cheese gang can do along Pacific Avenue as they monopolize the public space and take it away from the rest of the community for the profit of the merchants. Anyway, that's what was on the flyer. And now let's get back to what the people were saying in line at the Red Church.
Including, it says support existing campsites, including...
Right, it's just a set of support, so they're going to close it down.
Hasn't happened yet, anyway.
No, not yet.
But, you know, I think people should be ready for it. That's exactly what...
Yeah. It's like River Street.
Yeah, and like San Lorenzo before it, if you were around here last year.
Yeah.
They had a campground there.
Big word, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, you know, they did that last year, and they tend to do that in cities. They'll let you gather for a while, then they'll drive everybody out.
But the thing is, I don't see how they're going to want everybody to leave, but yet they installed porta potties a month and a half ago.
Because they can pull them out. They did that a year ago, too.
Yeah, they got porta potties, but no showers.
Yeah, no showers.
For everybody, to be honest.
All right, well, let's keep those reports coming.
Well, I like the River Street camp,
something
though.
Positive.
The city council was behind River Street, though. Ross, that ain't controlled by nobody. They just do what they want.
Thank you. Any reports?
No, sir.
All right. Street reports?
I'm good, thank you. God bless.
Hey, same to you, man. Any street reports?
No.
All right. Reports from the street?
Streets are beautiful. They need more color.
Yes. Well, you have your blue bandana. You know, I mean, there's that.
Because it smells good. Where'd you get the black triangle?
God, I don't remember. Probably somewhere, but... You have to ask Eduardo.
I got woken up yesterday morning by the
alarm. And what did they tell you?
They told me to get up and move. It's private property.
But no ticketing?
No more of this? No. Nope.
No property seizures?
Nope.
What time do they wake you up?
Like 5 in the morning.
And were you on public property or private property?
Private property.
Has that happened frequently or just this one night?
Once.
And how frequently have you been sleeping outside?
99% of the time.
For the last couple weeks?
Yeah.
You wish to give us your identity, sir, for our police record?
This is G.
Thank you, man. All right. Any reports?
Hey, I'm just excited to be here and get the food. It's happy holidays, everybody.
Some people are here, usually.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the camaraderie.
And the coffee.
And the coffee.
Here, I'll let you get some if you want.
I've had a couple, so I'm good.
But, you seem awake. You know.
I am awake, yeah. I'm excited, you know.
And we've been talking with?
Nick.
Thank you. Hey, Joseph, any reports?
They lost all my gear.
Again?
Again.
And when did they take it?
And you know what? When I caught myself on fire and everything else, they lost my $350 pair of Timberland boots.
Now, when was all that?
On the 8th of October.
And have you recovered from that fire?
Slowly, but it's looking a whole lot better.
You're showing me your right side, and it's got some red marks, but it kind of looks like a rash now rather than a burn.
Yeah.
That's good, I guess. I'm not a doctor or anything. I know nothing about it. So how about police treatment on the streets? Anything you want to report on? Is it pretty
good? You know what? They're pretty much leaving me alone.
Is that unusual for... is that
yeah, pretty much.
Change of policy?
Yeah, because when I go and tell them, why are you breaking the high court decision about we got a right to live?
Right.
And they walk away from me because they don't want me to get loud.
Well, I'm glad you're mentioning it to them. You always have to remind them, you know.
Yeah.
They're very forgetful about that.
Yeah, I know.
We've been talking with?
Joseph Earl Taylor III.
Thanks, Joseph.
Yeah.
Any reports from the street?
You'd like to take the 5th.
Fair enough. You mean you don't mean the 5th of vodka, you mean the 5th Amendment.
That's correct.
Yes, well, I can accept that because, well, you're poor. You're not allowed to do anything like that. You don't allow poor people to take the 5th, you know.
I've already been ran over once for not taking the 5th, so I think I'll take it out.
He's going to take it anyway. That's the spirit. All right.
Yeah.
You know your rights.
That's correct.
All right, babe. Any reports from the street?
Basically get in from the tenting to the shielding to keep the work where everyone's going to build their own structure, their own walls, the locals will build their own walls with their own tools, build their own shell, you know, and have a little bit of property rights up there by the Pokemon from the Harvey West beginning trail to Pokemon to the area between about Blue Groovy.
And how have police been treating you, if they've been treating you at all?
They haven't been as is responsible for my festive spending. I will vouch for that, but I've asked is left. The withholding, my patience is beyond as deniable, but for the fact of that the collection should be automatically have a business opening to welcome in from the university to the experimental. There's just a room to live in without eviction costs, you know, for not paying the rent.
I think I'm catching some of this. We've been talking with, what's your name?
Max Paul's Cable.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
I just have a general cautionary that for folks around here who tend to, like, put their own things down and walk away, you really want to be able to walk back, and it is there. So I say the same thing to people who walk past someone else's belongings. Remember the adage, I do not want what I have not got.
And we've been talking with...
Noel.
Thank you, Noel. And I think I know this guy. What's your name again?
My name is Ricardo.
I think I remember that.
I'm one of the local musicians. So is Noel. And we're going to be having a jam session. Well, when's the show coming out? Today or tomorrow?
Thursday night.
Okay. You guys are going to miss the jam session. It's on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day downtown. But try to catch the next one, which will be probably New Year's Eve and New Year's Day downtown, when all the local musicians wander
here's
up there.
El Palomar.
El Palomar. Yeah. It's
on Pacific Avenue.
On Pacific Avenue. You betcha. And we'll all should be crowded up there. Bring plenty of marijuana and methamphetamine.
Instruments. Oh, there are sometimes instruments. We have a need for more sound effects from creatures. If you can make a call like a bird. There you go. That works. Really
yeah. Whatever she said, I agree with. Yeah, and
bell, play your keys. It doesn't matter.
Just do what she says. I do.
Fair enough. Thank you. And we've been talking with
Ricardo.
Thank you, Ricardo.
Thank
you. And it's time for a musical break.
Christmas, baby, you really did treat me nice. Merry Christmas, baby, you really did treat me nice. Bought me a hi-fi for Christmas, Now I'm living in paradise. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. I've got good music on my radio. Well, I feel so fine. Got good music on my radio. Yes, I wanna hug and kiss you, baby, while you're standing neath the mistletoe. Came down the chimney about 3:30, left all these pretty presents that you see before me. Merry Christmas, baby. You've really been good to me. And I will always love you, baby. I'm as happy as can be.
And I have to apologize for that one. Merry Christmas, baby. Chuck Berry. I thought it was going to be a little more, non-traditional, but 1958 song, and one suggested by the ever-industrious Merlin, who has his own, I think it's his Tuesday night show on Free Radio. Let me check. Yes, sir, it's 7 to 1 in the morning, 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Tuesdays. It's Idle Hands with Merlin, if you want to hear some of his music. And thank you, Merlin, for the selections you've sent me. And while I'm mentioning it, if you want to check out the schedule for Free Radio, I think it has been updated somewhat lately, although there may still be some inaccuracies. You go to freakradio.org, which is also where you can actually hear Free Radio, since we're not broadcasting these days, but only streaming on the Internet. We're still looking for both a studio space and a transmitter site. Those are two different things. The studio is at a different place than the transmitter site because, it's illegal to transmit, but it's not illegal to have a studio and broadcast on the Internet. So if somebody sets up a transmitter somewhere else and broadcasts us, well, they're illegal, but we're not. Or maybe some of us are illegal, but some of us aren't. In any case, we're willing to pay for information about a studio space, and we're looking for information about a transmitter site. We understand there's some people who want to set up a transmitter for us, maybe it's for them, because we of course ourselves are just free-loving radio broadcasters. In any case, if you want to make $300, find us a 10x10 space, indoors or outdoors. We'll set up our own structure to kind of ward off the rain and the wind. We just have to have access to electricity, to have internet, perhaps somewhere a bathroom within a block or two of there. And I guess I always say access to bus lines would be nice too, since many of our broadcasters are poor people who don't have their own vehicles, and it'd be good to have public transportation access. Again, for more information on this, go to the freakradio.org website or call me. I'm one of the broadcasters. I'm not the Führer by any means of that particular group. We are a a raggle-taggle, feisty, factionalized group often. And the but I do go to the meetings, and I can present your information, and I can get you in touch. The number to call if you want to contact me is 423-HUFF, if you have one of those ancient phones. I guess it's even modern phones. It has the numbers and the letters together. That's HUFF. That's an acronym, of course, for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group that I meet with every Wednesday at 11 o'clock at the Sub Rosa Cafe. There's a free ad for you. Again, $300 if you can find us a place for a year, or a fraction of the $300 if you can find us a place for a fraction of a year. So get in touch, 423-4833, with your ideas. Plus, you actually get to hear us continue to broadcast, and we can put in a phone line so you can actually talk on the air yourself. Hey, think of that. Plus, of course, if you want to be on the air as a broadcaster, we're looking for new broadcasters. We have a very low bar for getting in. I suppose Nazis and Klansmen are not welcome. I don't know about politicians. I suppose it depends on your politics, but a variety of things. So don't be discouraged before you start. Get in touch, 423-4833, more information, and I will try to direct you along the path that may lead you to fame and hopefully something other than misfortune. And now back to that old Red Church noon chow line. Although next Monday it'll be a 6 p.m. chow line for all you hungry people at the Calvary Episcopal across from what is the Farmers Market in downtown Santa Cruz. Though not at the same time.
You.
Hey, what's your name, madam?
Julie.
What do you got to tell us?
I love you guys. Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Other than the Hallmark Hall of Fame, what else have you got for us?
That, I'm focused on the holidays, baby.
Fair enough.
I'm focused on the holidays. I'll take a hug. I will.
You're mine.
Mine, you hear?
Nice hug. Thank you. Anything you want to report this woman refuses to give us?
No, not really.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Any reports?
I'm in a really good mood for once.
You seem to be smiling.
Happy Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm really, really depressed about Jonas,
yeah.
One of my best friends.
He died? Or he's,
yes.
I didn't know him.
Yeah. No, I start crying again. I better be quiet.
Well, that may be an appropriate thing
I can
to do.
Tell him Jonas's favorite song is Every Rose Has
Every
Its Thorn.
Rose Has Its Thorn by Poison.
That's Jonas's favorite song.
Yep.
So when we hear that.
Once my guitar, he's singing all day long. Wouldn't stop.
Yeah. So sweet.
Yeah. Tell us who Jonas was for those who don't know.
Jonas was
so
a member
sad,
of our congregation. He was a good friend of Steve's, man. He was a brother. He was a brother to all of us. Yeah, he was our brother. And he will be missed. And we love Joey. And from now on, whenever we hear that song by Poison, we're going to think about our brother Joey.
Poison. Every rose
has its
thorn.
Yeah.
No, I'm not even hungry.
Yeah. Okay, but we can shed some tears.
Believe
but it's okay. It's tears because we're going to miss them. It's all right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And we've been listening to
Julie Shaw.
Yeah.
I'll be walking up the street. I'm going, isn't Joseph? He's not here anymore.
But he's in our hearts.
I'm looking around. He's not. I hate that.
You might see people who look like him.
I do.
You will.
With a big beard.
Yeah, he's gone, but he's not forgotten.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Any reports?
It's supposed to rain from noon today till midnight. And a couple other things. I wish people would stop stealing from one another, okay? People, we're all in the same boat, okay? We're all homeless. We're all a family. We all need to get together.
This from the same woman who pinched one of my buttons. I was walking around with a bathrobe covered with buttons. I suppose I should have been less cranky about that. Actually, I met her the next day, and she offered to give it back. So, sounds good.
Be grateful that we're alive. Remember Occupy 5 years ago?
I do.
This is the one that ended up running it. I'm Gayla. I lost my voice, but you know what? I was just telling someone the friendships we made, the history that was made, and the people that survived, we're still around. And those friendships will never be taken away from us. And you're
people
one of them,
like
Robert Norris. You're one of my friends.
Oh, thank you.
That I find dear to my heart.
We've been talking with?
And I've been talking with Gayla.
All right. And you are?
I'm Monica with the Cake Kingdom. Come on, Earth is in heaven. Merry Christmas. And people like you make a difference to the ones. You might be homeless, but we're not poor. We're rich because we have you. It's people like you make a difference in the world.
Really? And for the moment.
We survive and we're stronger every day.
Thank you, too. All right. Any street reports, sir? I may have asked you three times before, but
no, that's okay. Merry Christmas.
Anything you wish to sing at us at the moment?
Yes, and you're classic with your robe and all your buttons.
This
and
is
your,
Eduardo, the police.
I love
will
you.
Keep you safe.
I love you, dude. You're classic. You're a classic character. Thank you for coming out and caring to hear what people say. Thank you.
Thank you both. And again, we've been listening to the infamous conversation.
This is Cooper.
Of course.
This is Mill Creek Bandit.
All right.
Mill Creek Bandit.
All right. Thank you. Any reports from the street?
Maybe the context of, it seems like sometimes the law enforcement are kind of trading back and forth different things, like the Rangers will be able to write, kind of weaponize certain laws to discriminate against homeless people. For example, writing registration tickets over and over and over again, day after day after
day. You noticed that?
I've had it happen.
Last time it happened,
cost me $600 on an $80 registration.
When did that last happen?
This whole year.
Did it happen more than once? Or?
It's happened all year. I interact with the police once a day, or sheriffs, and they've all been super nice. The Rangers, most of them are nice, and a couple of them are really on kind of a power trip, you know.
Rangers on a power trip? How can you mean that?
Well, I'm a climber and hiker and all that, and I've always had kind of a kinship with, a brotherhood with Rangers or sister. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. And
I'm hearing what you're saying.
Yeah. My most trusted person in law enforcement in town is a Ranger, so, you know, it doesn't go one way or the other all the way.
You're not prejudiced against all Rangers?
No, definitely not, yeah.
And we've been talking with...
Can I leave that out?
You can.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, sir. All right. Any reports?
Just that people need to be nicer to other people here. Just because we're not all the same class or the same ethnicity don't mean we're not the same underneath.
Or the same gender, for that matter.
That's right. And we have the right to be whoever we want, no matter what degree of life or walk of life we come from.
Doesn't make me any less of a person. And that is for sure. Yeah, I'm a better person.
I wish that were true.
It is.
They treat you that way.
Yeah.
Society oppresses us, okay? They're saying, okay, we're up here, you're down here, you're the middle class. It's always been that way. And if we don't think outside of our box, four to five dimensions, then we stay stuck in that cycle. It takes
a
few...
I'm a better person now than I was when I had, you know, and part of it's because I've grown with time.
Thank you both. Been listening to you.
Latina, Tink Bug.
Thank you, Latina. Anything you want
to
say?
Yeah, I'd like to wish the Almighty Jesus Christ happy birthday and come and join us here at the Calvary Church in Santa Cruz for lunch.
Thank you. Any reports from the street? Thank you. Hey, any street reports, guys?
Not right at the moment.
Yeah, things are mellow? Or not?
Not right now. I got other things going on. Yeah.
All right, well, enjoy the food, is what I say. You know, I mean,
glad to see you right here.
Yeah.
You know, that made it anyway. So.
Thank you. Anything you want to say?
Merry Christmas.
Howdy, ho, ho, ho. Any reports from the street?
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah? Any reports?
Not really. Other than the Rangers, you know, they kicked out of the parking lot right away. They didn't want you sitting down for a minute at the river.
When did that happen?
It happened twice already. This last week.
And
they don't let you sit or just, you know, or...
Daytime or nighttime?
Daytime.
And was it you alone or were other people with you?
Other people. My girlfriend was with me. And
how many Rangers?
Two of them. In the car.
What did they say to you?
They just told me that I couldn't sit there for, you know. Well, I'm trying to rest my knee because my knee's, you know, messed up.
Where were you?
You know, the first bridge that goes to the boardwalk where the skate park is? So the skate park is right there on top.
I think so.
Yeah, right there.
Now, is this a closed area?
No, I mean, it's people all over. I mean, I don't know what's going on with them, you know, really. Kind of like, you know.
Now, what's your name, if you want to say?
Lupe.
And Lupe, does this happen to you frequently, or is this a rare occurrence?
Well, it happened yesterday, too.
And where did it happen yesterday?
We're sitting at the bottom of the bridge, just relaxing, me and my girlfriend.
Which bridge?
The one that goes from the skate park, right there, boom. So.
And you were alone this time or in company?
No, I was with my girlfriend.
How many rangers this time?
Two.
Same ones or different?
They're different ones. You know, they're,
and what did they say to you?
They told us that we need to leave, you know, because we're not supposed to be sit there. I go, we just got here, you know. I mean, they're trying to get our stuff together, and my leg hurts, you know, and stuff like that. I mean, they don't care, you know. They don't care, you know. I don't know why. The other ones that used to be there before, they were good rangers. They actually cared about what happened and stuff.
But thank you, Lupe. Anything else you want to add?
No, that's it. Yeah. And then I said that the shelter is good, though. The shelter's helping us out.
The Homeless Lack of Services Center, the Coral Street place?
No. The one over here from
Salvation Army?
Yeah. No, I don't like going over there. But other than that, that's a good place to go. But a lot of people won't go.
Thank you, Lupe.
All right.
Any street reports, sir?
Huh?
Any reports you want to say for the street, for the radio?
It's nice that the church is putting on a nice little Christmas, pre-Christmas lunch for us. We're getting out of the rain and out of the cold for a minute, and the food looks absolutely delicious. I had an appetizer that was passed to me, a little cream cheese on whole grain bread with some avocado on it. It was absolutely delicious.
But no caviar.
No caviar.
Well, you can't have everything. We've been talking with
Robert Palmer.
Thanks, Robert. Any reports from the street? Thank you. Hey, Bob, anything to pass on? No?
No, that blew up this morning.
I didn't even catch all that, but anything you want to say for free radio?
No.
Okay.
You have a wonderful holiday.
And you have a wonderful life.
Thank you.
Free radio. Free radio Santa Cruz, actually. All right.
And again, here's a reminder that day after tomorrow, on Sunday the 29th, I guess it's going to be, there's going to be a Santa Cruz Food Not Bombs continued distribution of rain gear, rubber boots, heavy socks, tarps to those without hosing, whatever that means. Continuing what they started last Sunday outside the downtown post office. I'm not sure if it's going to be at 5. They said it was going to be at 5 last Sunday, but it ended up starting at 4. So I'd go early and eat and cover yourself with rain gear at the same time. And they say in their message online, we hope this will reduce the suffering of at least 250 of those living outside this winter, part of a global campaign of Food Not Bombs to provide material support to low-income people. Local Food Not Bombs groups are handing out coats, winter caps, socks, scarves, and other survival items this summer. And they secured over 250 sets of rain gear, rubber boots, and tarps for $2 each from Orchard Supply when Orchard Supply was liquidating their inventory. Also, Bombas Socks donated 250 pairs of heavy socks. Good for Bombas Socks. And I want to also add that free storage space is still being offered over at nightly and daily at Day and Night Storage run by Brent Adams over on 150 Felker Street. Encourage you to check it out. If you're interested, give a call to 246-1234. That's 246-1234. They're open in the mornings and in the evenings for a couple hours each at each end. Call to get more details on that. I may give him a call. Probably don't have time on this broadcast. Probably going to call him on Sunday to get an update. That's Brent Adams, who always is brisk and sometimes controversial voice, at least controversial, in that I don't always agree with him, and he doesn't always agree with me. And now let's jump to Honolulu for a nasty Eve before the Christmas Eve story.
Well, the city gears up for a Christmas Eve homeless sweep in Waikiki.
Before dawn, crews will enforce the sidewalk nuisance ordinance and the stored property ordinance. A civil liberties group is upset about the timing.
The Department of Facility Maintenance will be in Waikiki from 3 to 5:30 a.m. on Monday morning, Christmas Eve. The Sandifer Ohana spent part of their weekend spreading some Christmas joy to those in need and were shocked to hear about the city's plan.
I think it's just unfortunate. These people are already displaced, and to just
know, I'm sure, what a struggle it is to have to pick up everything that you have and move it somewhere else, especially on the holidays when I think most of us just want to be comfortable and... Yeah, it's sad.
The city calls this a compassionate disruption and says rather than spending Christmas on the street, we hope these people will be able to spend it in a shelter with access to the care and services they need. The ACLU of Hawaii says it asked the city this weekend to cancel its sweep.
If the city is trying to be compassionate, why is it doing this at 3 a.m. on Christmas Eve? Why not go out at 9 a.m.? With a cup of coffee and some malasadas.
Both the city and the ACLU say they'd like to find shelter or permanent housing for the homeless. They differ on how it's done.
The ACLU would like to see these folks get into shelter or more permanent housing and receive services. And they're more likely to accept those offers of help if they're not accompanied by the threat of arrest.
The city says while we respect the work of the ACLU, we believe our actions are in the best interest of both the homeless individuals as well as the larger community. And another activist group is getting involved. Sunday night, Women's March Hawaii's Oahu chapter asked people on Facebook to call the mayor and demand he cancel the sweeps.
And that particular KITV Channel 4, a Honolulu station video, is accompanied, you can see it on the internet. It's under the headline, Christmas Eve Homeless Sweep Upsets Civil Liberties. It's also the printed story that accompanies the video. It's a little longer and a little more specific. So, for example, when the broadcaster says the city, the printed version says it's Acting Mayor Amamiya Jr., Amamiya Jr. apparently is saying this, so the city doesn't say shit, but this politician is sending out the thugs to harass poor people on the streets in the interests of, I don't know, merchant or tourist development or something to that effect, which doesn't speak for the city at all, as far as I'm concerned. There's also a paragraph here. Acting Mayor Roy K. Amamiya Jr. says in a statement, outreach workers have been canvassing this area and working with these individuals to address their needs, including making sure shelter space is available. We are committed to finding more housing solutions in the near and long term. This is the continual mantra of authorities, both in Santa Cruz, San Francisco, Los Angeles, you name it, everywhere. It's a standard line. Of course, what the report on KITV needs to do is to, doesn't mention the Martin versus Boise decision, which bans the mayor from doing this kind of stuff unless he actually has actual shelter. You can't just be canvassing the area and working with individuals to address their needs unless you actually do have shelter or housing available. And I have very little doubt that there is no such comprehensive housing available for people who need it who are outside in Honolulu. I don't know. But I note that they don't claim it is, but they claim they're committed to finding more housing solutions in the near and long term, committed to working with our partners on these compassionate disruption efforts. It's a great new phrase, compassionate disruption. I'll have to use that at city council. And making sure these individuals have access to any mental health or substance abuse treatment they might require. See, it's not our fault that we're spending giving developers huge gratuities and deals and ignoring homeless people outside and creating housing only for the wealthiest and creating all kinds of office space developments that ignore the real needs of people. No, it's because they have mental health or substance abuse problems. You see, that's what it's all about. Continuing, Mayor Amamiya claims, true compassion is working to get everyone off the street, or at least out of sight and out of town. This is not an overnight... He didn't say that, I did. This is not an overnight process. But we're going to do it in the middle of the night, I see. But rather than spending Christmas on the street, we hope these people will be able to spend it in a shelter with access to the core and services they need. And that, of course, George Carlin says on the bumper sticker I have on my car, among others, fuck hope. Thank you very much. We're talking about abuse of an entire population of people, masquerading as help. I just love it. It's sort of like the trains going off to take people to concentration camps in various unnamed countries, claiming that they're actually just providing them with, whether it's Soviet Russia, providing them with a nice Potemkin village or I don't know, pleasant work camps to the east in Poland that the Germans were sending certain groups to. Not even death camps originally, you know, they were just concentration camps. So they could concentrate people in a certain area, the difficult people, the service-resistant people. As of Friday, we identified, the mayor continues, at least 50 shelter spaces available to the entire population. Of course, he doesn't say if that actually covers the needs of the population, and nor does this radio station or television station, KITV, ABC in Honolulu, apparently do any research on it that they mention. And here's another touching Christmas tale from Los Angeles.
In health reasons.
So police want you to help the homeless, but they want you to do it through organizations who work very hard to make sure that the help happens in a safe way. News 3's Gabby Hart joins us live from Four Master and Las Vegas Boulevard with why officials urge against street-side charity. Gabby?
Well, throughout the day, we saw several people stopping in this area that's known for its homeless population. They handed out bags and blankets, food and drink, and it's all in the spirit of giving, but this is exactly what Metro Police urge people not to do.
Sun Valley residents decided to give back this Christmas.
That's all my husband wanted for Christmas was to feed the homeless, so.
Anybody want a blanket?
Yeah.
People stopped in areas with large homeless populations and handed out blankets, bags, food, and drinks right from the back of their cars. And people in need lined up to take advantage. But just before the holidays started, Metro Police asked the public not to feed people on the streets, saying it creates health and safety hazards and can sometimes start fights between the homeless. Instead, they urged people to donate time and goods through organizations that are put in place to help the homeless. And following Thanksgiving, police issued several parking citations carrying a $1,000 fine to people who stopped to feed those in need. And that drew criticism from homeless advocates.
I think they shouldn't have been cited. I think they should have been just warned, especially during the holiday season. They say, hey, guys, please, we can't be doing this.
Clark County Commissioner Marilyn Kirkpatrick issued a statement saying in part, when we give money or food to someone on the street, we are helping them remain on the streets and deterring them from seeking out services and programs that could help them escape homelessness. The people we caught up with on Christmas say they should be able to help those in need without going through an organization.
I try to give back whatever I can. I mean, I'm not going to go through a community. If when we have time to do it on our own, we just do it.
Well, of course, those people do mean well, but another reason that Metro Police say people shouldn't feed people on the streets is this right here. Take a look at the ground. We see chip bags, containers littered along the street, and this continues all the way down this block. So, again, another reason that Metro urges people to go through a homeless shelter if you'd like to help. I'm reporting live. Gabby Hart, News 3.
Yep.
And lest you think that that's only what the Los Angeles police do, you should know that people like Ken Deeg of our very own Santa Cruz Police Department went door to door to solicit signatures in order to get merchants and businesses in the homeless lack of service center shelter area. It's not even a shelter, of course, really. It's a pathway to housing campus program for a select few. But it also, for a while, they were provide. I think they provide bathrooms during the day, unless there happens to be a homeless memorial on, and they feel like not letting you pass the gate, as seemed to happen on the 20th, according to Steve, who tried to use the bathroom. He's a homeless guy. But in any case, the Santa Cruz Police Department does use a similar kind of philosophy. It is a heartless philosophy. It is a harsh philosophy. It is a cruel philosophy. And in, to some extent, it's been tempered by the behavior of Chief Mills. And I don't think it's because he's such a wonderfully compassionate guy. And I don't say this because as a human being, I think Andy is necessarily any less compassionate than any other person. He is, however, chief of police. Their job is to make things rosy for the tourists, the merchants, and the wealthy people in town, and for the conservative residents. That's their job. Those are the people who pay their salaries, and they tend to respond to that. Now, Mills is a sort of a practical and pragmatic guy. Plus, he is aware of court decisions that can impact the city financially, such as the Boise v. Martin decision that threw out the Idaho camping ban law. And we have a similar law here in Santa Cruz, not identical, and it hasn't been thrown out, but he has severely reduced tickets, instead encouraging officers, apparently, or at least allowing them to ticket people for other things, like being in a park after dark, or blocking a sidewalk, or trespass on a private property, even though if the property is closed and they haven't received a complaint. And again, I don't know how vigorously he is pursuing this, certainly not in every case, or they'd be, you know, arresting or citing people all over town all the time. They can't do that. They don't have the resources, thank God, to do that. But it puts people in a very uncertain situation. It makes them, it frightens them away from groups. Now, recently, of course, during the winter, last year at San Lorenzo Park and this year at the either Gateway or Ross or Heroes Camp that's now has a escalating number of tents right next to Highway 1, people do gather in groups, and they are now, they have some access to, well, overcrowded facilities. What's needed, of course, are all kinds of little camps, maybe in the Poganip, maybe in other parks, where people can go and not be so crammed cheek by jowl right next to each other. So that, you know, they can barely move. Actually, it's a better campground, of course, and has both more freedoms for the people involved and more space than the River Street campground that was funded by the city, as I said, at a cost of $90,000 a month on a gravel, locked barbed wire area where you had to, you couldn't even walk up and you couldn't have visitors. This is a little more, it has a certain more elemental freedom and decency. And there seems to be less police and ranger patrolling than was happening in the San Lorenzo Park. But whether that's going to continue is unclear. I really hope the people out there organize into groups that impress, although I don't see it's about to happen, impress upon authorities the need to respect people as human beings and not just as inconvenient, pathetic bags of debris that they have to sort of relocate depending on the city council whim or city manager decision of the moment. And as I said, and I call it out again, Officer Ken Deeg was an individual who both went after MHCAM, soliciting complaints against that organization. That's the Mental Health Client Action Network up on Cayuga Street, whose program has been severely cut back because its board of directors succumbed to that kind of bigoted pressure. Thank you, Steve Plaich, chief executive director up there. And it's also something that he did out at the Homeless Lack of Services Center, Ken Deeg did, Officer Deeg, going around to all the businesses and asking them to declare the streets, petition for the streets to become no parking areas unless by permit, the first 24-hour zones in Santa Cruz. That was done 2 or 3 years ago. It's spread to the west side as well now, to some smaller areas in the west side. You see, it's been going on for years thanks to Cynthia Matthews, one of our remaining right-wingers on the council. Actually, they're all pretty right-wing, as far as I can see, but she's notoriously so and historically so. She helped put into place the parking permit regulations that essentially make it illegal for you to park your vehicle between midnight and 6, where they post those signs, in many areas of town, even though no one's using those parking spaces, unless you have a permit, which you can only get if you're a resident there. It's really nasty shit. And it's the same kind of, I would call it Jesuitical crap. That's a phrase that means it's false, spurious information, hypocritically so, because it's. I suppose you could believe that somehow these L.A. cops really think that they're doing the homeless a favor by denying them food, water, blankets, and so forth on Christmas. It's kind of hard to believe that. But, you know, because, you see, that will drive them into the wonderful shelter services that Los Angeles has. And we're going to, I'll just leave it there and try to get a little musical relief. Incidentally, a small correction. I believe that was Las Vegas, not Los Angeles police. And in a way, that's more comprehensible. Who are playing the Grinch at Christmas with homeless people and telling people not to give and giving $1,000 parking tickets? still, it's understandable in a certain sense because Los Angeles was subject to a lawsuit way back in the 2006 when the Jones case was decided and a settlement was reached that essentially forced the police to lay off some homeless people in the downtown area, at least as far as sleeping and camping went, because the city didn't have the facilities. Las Vegas is also in the 9th district, though, the 9th Circuit District, the 9 state district that is accountable to the federal courts for not having anti-homeless laws unless they have shelter to get people into, or that people have an option to go to shelter without religious requirements, for example. And I don't know of any cities that actually have that. So what it means is people are going to be showing up visibly making their own shelter, and that's exactly what they're doing in Santa Cruz. And that's where they need to be supported, wherever they are. Here's a brief bit from Randy Rainbow. I like a lot of his stuff. Unfortunately, I played most of it, and I try not to repeat, although I invariably do repeat stuff on this music, particularly on this program, because you can get it somewhere else, and I want you to do that. If you enjoy it, go to the YouTube channel where you can find Randy Rainbow's stuff. But here's his 2-Minute History of Gay, the Randy Rainbow Show, Proud to Love. That's hashtag Proud to Love. And you got to really see the video to really catch the full impact of it. So check it out. It's under his randyrainbow.com throwback video, but here's the audio portion of that.
First, this was gay. This was gay. This was gay back in the day. Gay meant happy when way back we didn't know the other way. Gay old time, not the kind that we now all have in mind. Fred Astaire and Christmas carols, don ye now our gay apparel. And then gay, this was gay, we saw gay a different way. Stonewall riots, then Miss Bryant had her say. Melissa Etheridge, Elton, and don't ask, don't tell. When this was gay, this was gay, this was gay. Then lots of gay, oh my god, the world is gay. This one's gay and that one's gay, I think he's gay, and they're all gay. So much glee, we could see a new modern family, but it's only just begun, and so we hope you'll join the fun and be a gay. Be a gay, just say hey, okay, I'm gay. Will you turn out if you were not born this way? So sing along and stay on key and get your gay on. Be a gay.
Be a gay.
Be a gay. Just be a gay.
Or don't. I mean, it's not for everybody.
And I think I cut that one off a little early. And because I did, here is this another one. It's called a fan favorite. Randy Rainbow works at Chick-fil-A.
Hello. Hey, Mom.
Working. Yeah, I got a new job. Yeah, I am a manager at a really fancy restaurant. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I needed some extra cash for my Fire Island trip next weekend, so... Yeah, it's good. Good. Oh, actually, Mom, let me call you back. I have a customer. All right, bye. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Welcome to Chick-fil-A. How can we help you today, girl? Welcome to Chick-fil-A. Step right up and order, hey. Try our spicy chicken sandwich. It's the best one on the block. Our chicken's great and full of hate. You know you want some big fat...
Thank you so much.
I wasn't finished with the song. I didn't even get to the bridge.
I apologize.
It's fine, whatever. What can I get for you?
Oh, my goodness. That's a darn good question. I don't know how to answer that.
Would you like to try one of our world-famous chicken sandwiches?
There's just so many of them, though. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how to answer that. I honestly don't. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Okay, that's a number 2 hold of slaw, number 4 large waffle fry, 2 large Cokes, and 1 6-piece kids meal. Can I get a name, please?
Sarah Palin.
Thank you. Please step down. Next guest, welcome to Chick-fil-A. Oh, hey, Rick. What do you have today? The usual?
The Catholic Church teaches that homosexuality is a sin. I'm a Catholic, and I subscribe to the Catholic Church's teaching.
Okay, that's a 6-piece chicken strips, large waffle fry, and a medium Diet Coke. Hey, Rick. Look who's Chick-fil-A's employee of the month. It's me. You get a crown.
The Catholic Church teaches that homosexuality
is... Step down, please. Next, welcome to Chick-fil-A. Why am I so busy? What is this day?
Wednesday, August the 1st, Appreciation Day for Chick-fil-A.
Oh, cute. It's a holiday.
The activist gay community has just gone crazy about this.
Well, you know the gays. Any excuse for an event. Thank you for being Excuse me. Chick-fil-A, what?
I pray God's mercy on our generation that has such audacity to try to redefine what marriage is all about.
Oh, hey, Mr. Kathy, everything's going really well. It's just we're super busy right now. I didn't realize today is Chicken Pride Day or whatever. So we're packed. All these gay guys in suits are here with their hags.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, well, let me call you later, Kath.
Uh-huh.
My boss, she's such a nervous Nelly. I'm sorry, so what did you want?
To simply allow us to continue in the traditional view of traditional marriage.
Oh, you mean like the bottom's parents are supposed to pay for the reception and stuff like that? That's so old-fashioned.
Your question to him was whether he supported gay marriage, and my answer is the same as his, and it is that I do not.
Pretty conservative for a tranny.
Oh, heck no.
Order up, girl. Thanks, sweetie.
Oh, my goodness.
That really is just too far.
What the heck just happened?
Talk about chicken, right? I'm kidding. Okay, we are out of Muppets toys, but I'm putting in extra ketchup and some condoms for the kids.
Oh, heck no.
And you're all set. Thanks so much for choosing Chick-fil-A. Come again.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, my God, I love this song. Turn it up, bitch.
The Catholic Church.
I made it very clear that I believe marriage should be a relationship between a man and a woman. And I know other people have different views, but that's my view. A man and a woman.
What the heck just happened?
And again, to get the full impact of this stuff, you got to check it out on YouTube. But, well, do if you'd like. Now let's jump back to Food Not Bombs. Galoshes giveaway last Saturday, and again, last Sunday, actually. There's one coming up this next Saturday, day after tomorrow. You can, actually, I was there after most of the galoshes have been given away, and talked to some folks.
Well, I'm down here at the Food Not Bombs shindig, which is 23rd, about 5:30. And there's going to be a galoshes giveaway, I'm told. I see Keith McHenry conferring with some folks over there. He's a musical man. What are you playing? What's that composition there, Doctor?
This is a Food Not Bombs variation of Drop the Bombs, Pink Floyd.
I see. Oh, play on.
Mother, will they build the wall? Second verse picks up a little.
Better.
Will they put me on the firing line? Mother, will I get it done on time? I don't know why I'm getting done, but we're getting there. Oh, babe, hey, you know, Mama, help. Food Not Bombs. So if Mama can help, so can you. Get busy.
There you have it. It's a unashamed commercial for Food Not Bombs. Listening to the music of...
I am Meriwether Mike, a.k.a. Open Mike, speaking with Bath Revs Pierre, a.k.a. Snorless, a.k.a. Robert.
Thank you, Michael.
Here comes your biggest... Man.
All right, I haven't seen you in a month of Mondays.
That's why I come down here to get my hug.
So good, she's giving
a long time. I saw you.
And we're talking with
Norma Jean.
And Norma, you're. Have you gotten smaller or have I gotten bigger? I don't know what's going on.
Maybe both. Well, you got smaller too. I shrunk actually 4 inches. It's awful. So.
Wow.
So yeah, well, you know, you don't. I don't know what it was, the calcium. Yeah, your bones just shrink, and I fell, and I shrink some more.
You look like you're a little tired, but you're still kind of ambulatory with your walker here.
Yeah, but, well, I know. I just look. This purple line down my face is actually medical tape. Ah. And I had basal cell cancer, and what I learned is that if you have anything done to your face, you have the right to get a plastic surgeon. And I turned them away before on my other two injuries, so I got scars. So now you get your face fixed up by a doctor, a dermatologist, or the emergency, but you let the closing up insists on a plastic surgeon because he goes underneath the skin somehow and sews it up underneath the skin.
So are you pre or post plastic surgery here?
I'm post. That's why that purple line is actually taped. So they tell me when that comes off, I won't have any markings.
I see. So then you're going to hit Hollywood, go for your next big feature.
I'm looking for my next boyfriend. What the hell? John's been gone 2 years
sex,
now.
Sex, that's all you women ever think about.
Well, so do you. I know that.
That's, well, yeah, but so what? I mean.
Well, I know. I was thinking about you, but when you told me you're multi-something together, I said, oh, boy, I don't want anybody that's multi-something together, whatever multi you are.
Polyamorous.
Oh, yeah. Polyamorous. So does that mean you just go between different women or through everybody? Or?
Well, it means that I may have a variety of relationships ongoing at the same time.
Oh, yeah, that I can't handle. That's why I never slept in bed with you.
Here we have it. The truth is finally coming out.
Yeah, I'm just a one-man woman.
Any reports from the, the other Nick of the Woods? Any house? Are you? You're indoors.
Oh, I'm indoors, and we have a new young managers, and it's wonderful. Everybody's happy in our complex.
What is the complex?
Oh, it's Bay Avenue Senior Housing in Capitola.
Not run by John Stewart, I think.
Unfortunately, that part is, but the managers are great. We did have to have one manager quit because she was trying to get the roof fixed, and anyway, the guys didn't show up, and she chewed them out. And they told her that she couldn't make that decision. So she said, well, what the hell am I manager for if I can't make decisions? So she walked out on him.
How long ago was that?
That was just a couple of months ago. And now we're actually our maintenance man is leaving. So maybe I need a job. Our maintenance man is retiring. But no, we're all happy there now. I just have to wait till some other couple more people die so I can get it down.
How many people live in this complex?
Well, it's 106 apartments, and it's probably 85% women, of course.
Low income?
Well, it's actually low to affordable. I'm not really low income, but I'm not high income. I'm, that in between, so they still charge me more money than this person that's on Section 8. So, because my dear husband Joe left me he worked till he was 80, so I have a good pension, and I paid into Social Security, which a lot of people don't do for whatever reason.
How long have you been doing this, living at this place?
I've been here 8 years now.
At this particular place?
Yes, it's wonderful. I mean, God, I can walk to Gail's Bakery, I can walk to Knob Hill, I walk to the bank.
Have the rent's gone up?
Yes, but mine hasn't gone up too much. I started 8 years ago at $1,076, and now we're only paying $1,090. But other people have. It depends on when they get in, what the rents are. But it is only supposed to be a third of the rent. And when your ex, came and did a meeting for us, and she really helped a lot in getting complaints, getting out there, things that we needed.
Do you have an organizer there, or are you in touch with tenant activists?
Not really, no. There just hasn't been. There's not too much activists now, but just people are getting along great, and it's just so wonderful from the tension we had before when we had the old manager.
My card, if you want it. We've been talking with
Norma Jean Tasker, and I do keep your card. I still have it in all your little cards, and I'm so happy to see my dear friend Robert again.
A pleasure. And remember to hug me anytime.
I'll hug you again. A big hug. Ah, don't crush me. Sorry. Okay, now I got to go get my little...
Reports for how things are going with you at the... I guess it was a Section 8 problem that got resolved. The clutter issue was thrown out by the judge, and all is well?
Yes, it's going better. With the judge had reduced the charges to a stipulation that we had fulfilled. They had voted in my favor, and so he closed the case with the attorneys asking. And then they dropped the eviction charge.
Sounds good. So you're feeling pretty secure?
Right now, yes. I'm winding down still from the end. I'm waiting for the last parts.
How many people live in your complex?
There's 9 people that live in our unit there. We have nine rental units. We have nine.
And are they mostly Section 8? Or?
They are all Section 8, yes.
And do they have any problems with eviction threats, as far as you know?
I think they have had some. This company is not real good to us. And there's other people that have worried, though I don't have anybody to tell on. There's worries.
Well, at least you are somewhat out of the woods, thanks to some assistance from tenant association worker Berger and I guess some other agencies, an attorney who helped you too. Right?
Yes, there was an attorney from CRLA, and she helped me as well. And she came in and examined the house to see if it was really wrong. And I was always polite to everybody, and I cooperated, so they let me out.
And you also stood up for yourself.
I did. I showed up, as they say, and stood up, since I thought I was right. Welcome.
We've been talking with...
Huh?
And your name again?
Jim.
Of course. Thank you, Jim. Catcher?
Yes. For a dollar.
No. Sorry. No money today, but you might get some free galoshes. I hear they're giving them out shortly.
I don't need galoshes. I wear sandals.
Well, you know, it could get rainy, my friend.
I wear sandals.
Well, you might want to have a spare pair for a friend who needs them.
I don't want to carry anything other than for myself.
You have a good answer for everything, don't you?
At the moment.
Well, let me see how the bowl rolls, and we'll see if we want to... pay up your fee. What usually I don't pay for interviews as a matter of principle. So.
I know that, but I have a special picture for this interview way over there, and I did get a new amplifier for my guitar, so I have been doing some good things. And I found these two beautiful frames, one about this big, one about that big, and
children.
No, they're brand new black frames with the glass still unbroken.
Oh, I'm not quite sure. Are they a living or inanimate?
No, I'm painting a picture for them.
Oh, I got
if someone wanted the frames, I'd like to get rid of them right now.
Frames, not friends.
Yeah, come check us out.
All right, well, let me first have a word with this guy before I join you.
Okay, come back and continue this because I want to earn my dollar.
All right. Assuming we give you a dollar. Now, what's your name, sir?
Wes.
Wes, you're carrying your tripod with you, and you look like you're all dressed up and ready for, I don't know, aqua diving or something.
It's cold outside.
It's
good cold enough. My ears are cold, so I got my hoodie on.
So you brought this along to record the giving away of different rain gear that's supposed to happen shortly here?
You missed it. Actually, it happened closer to 4:30.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
They had they got a set of goulashes, size 6 to 13. They have socks that they gave away, and they had tarps and rain outfits. So the rain outfit had a pants and jacket and a cap. So they had like 250 sets.
And did you video happy customers lauding the Food Not Bombs people? Or?
Yeah, a little bit. And also got a little bit of interview with McHenry. So, you know, all in all, it's maybe 5 minutes long. In all, I mean, you don't really want to video people too much.
Now, have you been out to Camp Ross or Heroes Camp, as Keith calls the camp behind the Ross complex?
No, I have not. You can show me where it's at, though.
Oh, yeah. I'd be happy to do that if I have enough energy after this meeting of people is over. Anything happening in Salinas you want to pass on to us recently?
Oh, my. We're still stuck, man, but, you know, people are still getting swept and everything being stolen, and, you know, having to replace, and it's raining. I mean, you know, we just need to be able to let people be where they're at. And if you don't like them where they're at, well, then open up another space. But people need normalcy and consistency. You want to inspect them or whatever, sign them for services. Then they can be harmless instead of homeless, and then we can actually let them be. Stop stealing all their stuff, because this is expensive.
How close are you toward this goal?
It's been 4 years. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can tell you my hopes and dreams, and you'll attach them anyway, so.
Doesn't sound too promising, or maybe it sounds like a lot of promises, but hopes and dreams, but so far no reality.
Right. Well, I'm gonna run for an ADEM, which is an assembly delegate for the California Democrat Party. See if I can push some.
Oh, my heart, hold on.
There you go. See if I can push some homeless.
Still my liver.
There you go. Hey, you know, if it's statewide legislation, then one city or another can't say, well, you know, I mean, it's, if it be a state law, then I mean, it's already a Martin versus Boise is already a ninth district law. So for them to do it to begin with is already unconstitutional, and we need to figure out how we're going to treat people. Are we going to treat people better, or are we just going to keep on making money by hurting them?
I believe you told me that Salinas police are not respecting Boise v. Martin decision.
Well, no, they're not giving citations, but they are stealing everything, which apparently isn't really in there, but, you know, it still goes to the same effect.
And you're encouraging people to document their losses, of course.
That's a fact. The more video evidence, you know, just saying you're a legal observer, say you don't consent to anything, you know, but yet still comply if it becomes forced, because that's what we need is evidence. I mean, once you turn that camera on, people change their tune and their tone, especially the cops, because they already know what they're doing is wrong, and they don't care. It's allowed and encouraged the way they treat people, and they know they treat people worse than animals.
And we've been talking with?
Wes Whitehead, Salinas Homeless Union.
Thanks, Wes. Nick Whitehead. Yeah. Would you like to say anything about how things are going for you and, I guess, conscience in action? I know you've been under some strain in the last few weeks.
No, conscience in action, which has been concentrating on trying to liberate bathrooms, especially the Loudoun Nelson Center bathroom. We're going to have a meeting the first Wednesday after the new year. You know what day that would be? Part of the week?
Not yet, but I could work on it.
I don't know when New Year's Day is, but first Wednesday after New Year, Conscience in Action.
I think it's a Wednesday after next.
Okay. We will meet at the Sub Rosa Anarchist Coffee Yard at...
11 o'clock?
Yeah, make it 11. 11 a.m. Yeah.
Okay. So are you going to pick up on the bathroom situation, or you got some other ideas in mind?
Well, no, that particular one, I think... I think we ought to communicate with Weston's Center on Law and Poverty and see what what the legal rights are of people who need to use public bathrooms in public buildings.
Will you be doing that before the meeting?
It depends if I can get on a computer.
Feel free, if you come to my place, you're welcome to use my computer.
That's what I was thinking. I should come by your place.
Oh, it is up in Felton.
And get that done. That's
Sure. You're welcome to do that.
All right, thanks.
And if people want to get in touch with Conscience in Action, how can they do that?
Oh, currently I don't have a phone. I will shortly have one. I don't have one right now.
Leave a message on the Huff line at 423-4833.
Yeah, that's sure.
For Nick.
Yeah.
Not Cracker Nick, as I call you, Nick.
That's fine. I'm still cracking my nuts.
Ouch. Hopefully everybody else is, too. Thank you, man. Okay. Lawrence, anything you want to say for Free Radio? Report from Uncle Tim here. You say you're looking forward to trying some of our military war criminals?
Yeah, military tribunals coming.
The chief of police in Santa
Cruz? Well, you never know.
I see. What about the mayor?
The pedophile network.
How about the ex-mayor of Santa Cruz, Terrazas, and the current clown who's in power? What's her name? Witkins? I can never quite get it right.
Yeah, I've been paying more attention to national. Following QAnon. Check out QAnon.
What is that?
It's military intelligence that's been putting out information.
It's a website?
It's you can check out Praying Medic is a good one to commentator on the QAnon.
Jesus saves, or as in we're going to eat you up.
As in Jesus saves, yeah.
I got you.
But there's other ones. Citizens Investigative Report. One of my favorite ones now is In Pursuit of Truth, a YouTube channel. He's really funny, and he comments on the Q posts.
Fair enough. We've been talking with...
Timothy Anon.
Timothy Anon. Thank you, T.A.
Oh, my name's Timothy Michael Madison.
Hey, Timothy. So I see you're nourishing a pair of galoshes there.
Or yes.
Hip-deep boots. Well, they're not hip-deep. They're boots.
These were a gift. I was blessed by the food
Una Bombs guys,
yeah. Along with the raincoat.
Have you been caught out in the rain recently?
I was, yes.
You've dried out since then?
Yes, but it was pretty scary because it's coming down. And
I did hear it from inside my little shelter inside, indoors.
Lucky, yeah,
yeah, for sure.
I had made a makeshift kind of canopy with some spare plastic, you know, that found the construction plastic.
How long have you been in the same place?
Oh, 4 months.
And it's a shelter outside?
It's actually right on top of the Girl Scouts bridge, on the part that people don't walk on.
Do you mind if I put that out on the air, or is that going to make you put you in trouble?
I don't think it'd put me in trouble, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
So have you had any, have authorities passed by and not given you any trouble?
For probably 2 months, didn't have any problems whatsoever. And then last month, you know, they saw or came by and I hadn't gotten up. And so it was a ticket for blocking the pathway, which is kind of, you know, people early morning, there's maybe one or two joggers that go by, totally not blocking the way, but you know, okay, whatever. So,
did you move it, or have you made? Do you wish to say whether you've maintained it?
I pick it up every morning. You know, every morning I pack it.
So it's a nighttime adventure.
It's just a nighttime gig.
Nighttime shelter.
Yeah. Yes. A little safe haven spot.
How secure is it from the rain?
It's not very secure from the rain at all. So that's where I had to come up with something.
You got a tarp you're taking with you?
No, I have a stashed, rolled up piece of plastic that I tie rope around it.
Rain is due, as you know, tomorrow night.
So. Yeah. We're kind of this totally helps. I'm super happy about it and thankful. Feel blessed. Yeah.
So you've gotten only one ticket in your misadventures.
I've gotten two. And two
what,
so far.
What have you done with those tickets? Have you been hauled in, or have you been?
No, I have not.
I don't expect they will, because they don't usually do that. But it can screw up your credit if you don't get to court. If you're worried about your credit.
I'm worried about the court date and where, you know what I mean? I probably have to go find out with the courthouse.
You have to go across the river, the silly courthouse, walk in with your ticket and say, what's the deal? And then they give you a court date, and you got to go down to the court date. And you tell them you want community service, perhaps, or you can also claim that you have no options but to shelter yourself where you need to be sheltered. And is this going to be if people bother to come in and show up for court, is this going to be the kind of punishment they get?
Yeah.
Is it get hassle for coming? Because many people don't go into court. They just say, screw off.
Right.
I mean, this shows, it causes a lot of disrespect for the law if people get treated like crap.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. So I'm a little worried about that. So I want to show up and, you know, find out what they want me to do so that I don't have any, you know, real consequences, you know. They're talking about jail time. That would be horrible.
Do you have a phone contact yourself?
I do.
Because I may ask you off mic if you want to be give your phone contact so we can get in touch with you and hear what's going on.
Sure. Yeah. Do you want?
All right. Yeah. Awesome. Talking with.
Friends just shake their heads, lying on their easy beds, easy in their own love, and it's easy to be wise. In your heart you know the right, tell yourself so half the night, but it's worth it just to look into that one man's eyes. Walking down the street at night, it strays into your mind, you might run into him by chance, and hope to God you never do. Swear you'll never fall again. And then some rumor wanders in, and off you're flying, praying that it's true. When you're in love, all the things he never told you, up against the times he hold you, don't matter anymore. Every couple walking by, every love song makes you cry. There's always some excuse to try when you're in love. Time to let the whole thing go. All your friends have told you so. Time to find a new love with a kinder hand. walking with your eyes so wide. Lonely people by your side. Lonely people telling you they understand. Now and then you feel so free. Laughter comes so easily. Now and then you know you've kicked it. No one owns you now. But every time you hear his name, you have to steel yourself again. People are so careless anyhow. When you're in love and he tells you that he's sorry, but tomorrow he'll be far away. You hardly hear the word. He's gonna have to leave you here. He's gonna make it very clear. But his voice is all you hear when you're in
That's Carol Denny, When You're in Love, from her album, The Rich Will Never Be Poor. And now let's get back to Futnah Bomb's meal a few days ago. And then we're going to sign off until Sunday, when I've got lots more coming at you that I haven't had a chance to play. If you want to reach me between times, give me a call on the Huff line at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And if not, well, see you on the street.
Right, yeah. Talking with
Keith McHenry.
World
headquarters, by the way. World headquarters.
World headquarters, yes. So you gave away galoshes, but apparently you're not satisfied with your galosh giving. You're going to do more next week?
We're going to do it next week, yeah. We're trying to, we realized we did a good job this week. It was a test run. We had to figure out what we're doing, and it seemed to work really well.
How many galoshes did you give away, or pairs of galoshes?
I think we did 100 pairs of everything.
And any comments about sort of what you observe from the galosh getters?
They were very grateful that we had galoshes and rain gear and tarps and socks.
Hardy har har.
Yep.
But no shelter.
No, no.
No civil rights.
Housing yet.
Nothing
so,
like that.
Nothing. No housing. No. Nothing. So oh, somebody's got their rain gear up there on the wall.
No. Someone's going to help me out with these fucking situations.
Okay, what's going on now?
You didn't see the person running around me screaming?
No.
The one who was just pushing his cart this way.
Did we put everything away? You put it all back?
I missed it too, sorry.
This way, he's this
okay,
way.
Okay, guys.
Sorry. No, there was well, an incident, but who knows yeah. what it was.
From?
Yes, Miles.
Go ahead.
Well, we made the mistake of taking two slices of pleasure pizza product into Pizza My Heart and wrapping them in a napkin. And there was a manager there, I don't know his name, kind of tall, gray-haired guy, who found in that in what he described rather gleefully as an excuse to get rid of us.
Mm-hmm. What's this?
5 days ago, I think. Tuesday, I believe. Tuesday evening. Yeah.
Are you a regular patron of this joint?
We've gone in there pretty frequently. We haven't bought much there recently because their prices are very high, so we seldom get things there. But we have, contrary to his insinuations, we bought entire pies there plenty of times in the past. So I kind of resent the implications, and I kind of resent the way he talked to us, which was intentionally demeaning and vicious.
And was it day or night when this was happening?
This was evening time.
Probably 6 or 7 or so.
Did you get any support from any people in the surrounding area?
We told a couple of people we've seen that their boss has kicked us out, and they said, I'm sorry to hear that. And there's not much they can do.
They were to continue to patronize this dump?
Oh,
well, we're talking about employees that she's spoken to.
But yeah, no.
Maybe you can slip in when the manager isn't there.
I don't think that works so well. We need to talk to somebody and get
okay.
See if we can get some sort of override.
Off the shit list.
You know, get him overridden, because what he did was completely out of line.
And we've been talking with?
Ismail.
And Nazira.
Thank you both, Nazira.
I think we need to talk to the district manager to kind of resolve the issue at hand. So
let me know what happens. I'm going to try to grab Matt before he disappears.
Right. Yeah. Have a good night.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, a quick interview on how you say you've taken...
I haven't been in there, but I'm going in tonight, though.
So you were in San Lorenzo for a while. You haven't been in San Lorenzo yet.
I haven't been, yeah.
But you've chosen to move out of Ross because...
It's even crazier. It's crazier than how it was at Tent City down here in San Lorenzo Park. It's even worse.
In what respect?
A lot of people... They fill in that whole section, the back corner. It's just too much going on. Too many fights, too many people thieving and everything.
Have any of your stuff been stolen recently?
Yeah, a lot. Actually, everything. Everything, actually.
Oh, boy, that must be
a
bummer.
But now that you get me down, I'm just not going back over there. I'm just going to avoid that. I'd rather go back to the other part.
And now, are there people actually using San Lorenzo Park?
Now, they took all the gates down except for the one for the bottom field. And there's people that go there in the morning and they sleep all afternoon and get up and go on by their business.
How many people would you estimate are doing that?
There's just a few right now. Too many people don't know it's open. Just a few.
And the bathrooms are
open.
Are open, but not at night.
Not at night. From early morning to sunset.
And. Well, here's Keith McHenry. Keith, you heard that San Lorenzo is now kind of opening up again for people, at least people are going there. That's what Matt told me.
Yeah, it seems like people are going there, and that's and people are starting to camp in front of the post office right now.
Really?
Yeah, there's like 4 or 5 people doing
it. That cut down, they let us stay there.
Yeah. There's like, cool. Seems like some kind of weird unofficial amnesty current. I wanted to just say, too, for the radio, that everybody, if you didn't get your rain boots and your rain gear and your tarps and socks, we're going to do it again on Saturday after Christmas at the post office during the Food Not Bombs meal.
Saturday after Christmas at the Food Not Bombs meal. You mean on next Saturday?
Yeah, next Saturday. We'll do it again.
Okay.
Because we didn't give away everything that we have. And
I mean, there are other meals that you can go to if you want, such as the Red Church meal tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's noon or 2. Have you heard which of the...
No, but the other thing is we're trying to parcel it out so that if people lose things between now and then, they get it again because
of
the ring.
Or if it gets stolen, perhaps.
Or if it gets stolen, things like that. Because we understand people are... We actually got enough for the rain gear. We have, like, in an area of, like, 400... raincoats, and we gave away, so we have like about 300 left. So we're going to keep putting them out as the rain gets, because we didn't want to like give them out with you're only getting wet like one day, which is already sucks. but closer to when it's like all the time raining, raining, raining. That's why we waited till now.
Those go to.
Huh?
What sizes do those go up to?
The triple extra large is the biggest that we have.
I didn't see a triple X, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. We will have triple extra large again. And we didn't bring all our triple extra large because we thought people would go more with the double X. And we have a lot of 13 boots, but we is the biggest size we have for boots.
So Matt tells me that it's been getting more difficult to be, at least for him, at the Ross camp. There's been a lot more theft, more problems out there, you say, more fights. What have you heard?
Yeah, I'm hearing that other people living on the street don't like to be out there because it's too much chaos. But I have heard that from people.
They're really on the street.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's still open.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's always a problem. It's like, it's easy for people to take advantage of people living on the streets. And so, yeah. You know, other people they rob each other. It's too bad. I've heard from people that survived the Great Depression that once the Great Depression got really seriously intense for a while, that people chilled out on the theft and everything. So because there was you couldn't sell anything to anybody, there wasn't anything but to buy anything. The things just kind of like.
So you wait till things get worse. You're putting all your money on the stock market crash.
No, I did invest totally in the stock market for that purpose. I wanted to lose as much money as I could as fast as
here,
I could.
Here, this is for you. It's a cough drop.
Okay, here's a cough drop. Okay.
You like a cough drop.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So I want to tell you, I'm going to try to go to the bathroom.
You better do that.
So this is like a very difficult situation in this area.
We can block you while you go wee wee.
No.
If you'd like.
Okay. So I'm going to go use they haven't banned me from the bathroom yet at the bookstore, but they may.
There's also a button in there, you know.
Oh yeah, maybe I can pretend like I'm buying coffee. Okay.
Make that. We'll observe.
I'll do that.
All right. Take care. We've been talking with
Mac Palmer.
Thank you, Mac.
As certain as the sun will rise and politicians have lying eyes, as sure as suffering multiplies, the rich will never be poor. As certain as in life you learn, the rich have money and time to burn, the rich will counsel you, wait your turn, in heaven you'll get some more. As sure as poverty plagues the land, the rich will give you a helping hand, as soon as mountains return to sand and oceans leave the shore. Count on nothing in life so well, that if the rich go straight to hell, lots are something they buy and sell, they'll never enter the door.
Some people smoke meth, some people smoke crack, some people snort coke off of Ricky's ball sack. I've tried them all, don't get me wrong, the best high there is comes from a bong. I like smoking pot a lot, I like getting stoned alone, I like vaping weed. Edibles are incredible. I sure love them gummy bears, hemp shampoo for my curly hairs, rubbing cannabis lotion on my cock. I like smoking pot a lot. Some people like pills, some like huffing glue. I like marijuana, but that ain't breaking news. Some people like booze, some like sucking dong. Brother, I like both, but that's another song, and I'll sing it to you later. I like smoking pot a lot.